If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Source. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, Behind Every Form of Suffering, There Is Only One Problem. So, if you're ready, take a deep breath. And allow yourself to be flooded with your divine awareness. There's a place in you that is always awake, that is completely one with the divine. There is a place within you that is always in the state of Sat Chit Ananda. Sat, that which is eternal. Chit, that which is ever expanding awareness. Ananda, that which is ever expanding joy or bliss. That part has never, ever been separated or divided, nor has it left that place at any time. When we speak of the self with a capital S, or the spirit, or the Atman, or the I Am presence, that is what we're speaking of. It's also called the monad. You might say it is that which you are forever and ever and ever. That cannot be changed, or marred, or modified, or affected by anything in time, space, and becoming. At that place, you see, that you can tap into at will. At will. Any time you really want to. It is absolutely without any limitation in terms of time. In fact, time is only for the purpose of experiencing, realizing, remembering, awakening to that, and nothing else. So tonight, maybe a few of you, who knows, it may be your time to awaken to that place. Maybe some of you have tapped in and out of it and wonder how you can move in. And not leave that place. But let me tell you something. I'm going to save you a lot of frustration. Every time you seek that, as if you did not have that, you are creating an unnecessary barrier. You yourself are creating a delaying mechanism that doesn't in truth exist. Why would we do that? Well, primarily because we're afraid of the unknown. What we know is this person that we think has a body and certain thoughts and attitudes and concepts and beliefs that run it, certain habitual patterns. That's what we associate with as who we've taken ourselves to be. And we're attached to that. And so when you go too far beyond what you consider the known or the normal or the predictable or the whatever you could control and manipulate, every time we go beyond that, there is a resistance that seems to arise. From whence does that resistance come? A fear of letting go and jumping into the arms of the invisible. Yeah. There's a point in our spiritual growth that the shamans refer to as the shamanic death, where you leap into the unknown. I had an experience of that myself back in the 80s. I had a dream where I was, actually it was an out-of-body experience, it wasn't a dream at all, but you could call it a dream, I suppose. I was on top of a pyramid, and the unseen voice told me to jump, and I leapt. And the fear and the shock of what it took for me to do that leap into the unknown had a ramification down into my physical sleeping body that caused a shudder of terror and fear so intense that I awakened. Have you ever had a dream where you did that? Maybe it was a sense of falling, or maybe it was an experience like I had, which was an initiatory test. And you don't know whether you're going to crash on the rocks below, or an invisible hand is going to come up under you and scoop you up, or if you're going to sprout wings and fly, metaphorically speaking, of course. And I was connected with a beautiful sister who is from the community under Mount Shasta, Telos. And she contacted me the next day, and she said, without me telling her anything about the dream, she said, "By the way, you flew." Now, this was just before we were going to go on a journey with the Mayan elder Hun Botsman. This was the spring, I think, equinox of 1987, I believe it was. And we were sent by the Brotherhood to go down into the Yucatan and open the ancient initiatic centers. And we went with this great shaman and Mayan daykeeper and code activator, Hun Botsman. I think just about everyone who was in any way connected with the harmonic convergence, with the 144,000 rainbow warriors who came to dream the dance awake, who came to dance the dream awake, is what I meant to say. All of that that was brought forward by Jose Aguales, who happened to be on the journey with his wife. There were all these marvelous energy workers and grid workers and shamans. There were 50 of us. And we went into the Yucatan and we visited each of those ancient centers and activated them for the ascension that we are currently undergoing. Today again is the equinox. In the southern hemisphere, it would be the autumn equinox. In the northern hemisphere, it would be the spring equinox. But it is a shifting in the vibrational focus of the consciousness. And you will find that there are these seasons and cycles that keep repeating that are like dimensional portals to another choice, another parallel reality, another way it could be. And so often we want to perpetrate that which we know, that which is comfortable, that which we understand. But only when you leap in the void do you open the opportunity for something unknown and miraculous to enter. You see, all miracles are born of love. And without love, there cannot be trust. And without trust, there cannot be love. So there is this act of trusting as you thrust yourself into the unknown. What assured your transition from the inner planes into this physical body and lifetime? Wasn't that a great leap into the unknown? And what thrusts you beyond this physical imprisoning form into the limitless being of your true self when you pass from this body? Isn't that a leap into the unknown? And let me ask you, has there ever been a time that you didn't leap into something greater and better and more miraculous than you could have even imagined? But we're such control freaks, aren't we? We want to know what's going to happen so we can control it and manipulate it so it pleases us. Huh? Get over it. You'll never discover the miracle of yourself if you stay safe in your terms. In highest truth, you've never been anything but safe. So we're looking tonight at the only problem. What could that be? Let me ask you. If I was to ask you, what is the one problem that is like the root of every form of unhappiness and suffering and misery on the planet? Every, let's say, unhappy nightmarish dream. What would you say is that one problem? I'm not hearing a single one of you come up with an answer. Well, make one up. What do you think the problem is on the planet? Look at all these talking heads all the time and people who write books and everything. They think they know what the problem is. The big problem is that they are speaking and writing and teaching and blabbing from the state of the problem and they're not even aware of it. Talking heads babbling nonsense in a dream time that never really was. Interesting, huh? What is the one problem that I might add has one solution? You know, life is all about the revelation of inherent divinity. Inherent divinity. Did you know that there is nothing that is insentient in all of existence? Nothing. And yet, scientifically, we know exactly 0.1% of only 4% of what we have termed scientifically the realm of the atom. That leaves us with a very, very, very ginormous percentage of the unknown, doesn't it? And everything out there, according to the great enlightened, God-realized men and women of the ancient wisdoms, every single quark of it is sentient with divine life and creative intelligence. Everything. Everything is made of the living light and the living word and the living love and the living power and the creative intelligence of that which is. Amazing, isn't it? And we want to stay within the realm of the known. Kind of silly, don't you think? So behind every urge to seek, there is one quest, and that is to know the self. What is that self that listens, that sees, that witnesses, that thinks, that creates, that has this insatiable curiosity that we call the citta, the movement of the inner awareness to expand and to explore itself and to be more, ever more. The very nature of life is expansion. Life is expansion. Did you ever consider that you are that life with a capital L? You are that life. There is no other. You can call it God, you can call it love, you can call it creative intelligence. And we do. We create all these gods and goddesses and forms and concepts and beliefs and definitions. But they all amount to zero, don't they? It's all moving around mental furniture in the form of images and concepts that we individually endow with importance and significance until we change our mind, which we do regularly. We change our mind, don't we? From minute to minute sometimes, it shifts like a weather vane, depending on what we're reading, whom we're listening to. But how much of this is from your direct experience? Do you go living your life secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand, taking the opinions and the thoughts and the beliefs that others voiced upon your attention? Or do you dive deep because more than anything else you want to experience and know for yourself? And you only will have that if you go directly yourself and create that experience for yourself. And you know how to do it. Every single one of us knows how to find what we seek. You have to put yourself where you can find it. Where is that? In the place where you're having your full attention on that. It's a state. It doesn't require quiet and solitude, although that helps in the beginning. But you can have an absolute experience of God realization in the middle of downtown Manhattan or Tokyo at rush hour, or Los Angeles, as the case may be. There was a gal walking under the overpass at Spring Street and 2nd here in L.A. And 1 minute she was walking under the underpass, the next moment she was standing in the inner realms with Jesus the Christ in her ascended body. How did that happen? Well, she created that because of the intensity she had to be with the Lord. Intense desire to raise her vibration up into the presence of the one she adored. So when you have that intense desire, or St. Teresa of Avila, same thing, so intense was her passion to experience the Lord that she would start to levitate as she was praying, and she couldn't stop it. Of course, it upset the lesser soul-aware people around her. You know, don't do that. It scares us. Why are you raising up into the air? But you see, when you reach a certain vibration, you transcend the world. You transcend this level of vibratory reality. And the secret of all transcendence is the degree to which you're focused only on that. See, most of us have very divided attentions. We multitask to our detriment. But the truth is, the mind can only focus on one thing at a time. So what you're doing is giving minimal attention to many things. And that robs you of present awareness. So when the mind and the feelings and the thoughts and the aspirations and everything are aligned in one intention, you manifest instantly. That's why Satya Sai Baba, the great avatar, everything that he thinks about takes form and manifests at his will. We have that potential to do that ourselves. We just have to be very, very clear on what it is that we want to align fully with. So life is all about the revelation of our inherent divinity to ourselves. And when you find that place within you, you find it everywhere. That's how you can tell that you've found it, because that's what you begin to see everywhere you look. You've raised your vibration to a state of consciousness in which everything else no longer shows up but the divine. Now, that said, there's nothing at all wrong with you or your life as it is right now. That's why you have to start where you are right now. In fact, your whole life is a play of consciousness unfolding as a series of dream episodes from which it's inevitable that you will awaken when you really want to. When you really want to, you will awaken. So your life with all of its experiences is your spiritual path. It's your journey from the unreal to the real. It's your journey from darkness to light. It's your journey from ignorance to divine illumination. It is your journey from death to immortality. But it's a journey without distance, because from highest truth, you have never left the real. You have never left the light. You have never left your immortal self that is indistinguishable from divine source. Indistinguishable. So your life is an unfolding journey of ever-expanding awareness. And your life had no beginning, and it will have no end. Your life is an ever-expanding radius of unconditional love. Your life is creative intelligence, ever exploring new ways of manifesting itself. There is no end to your creative intelligence. No end. So if you stick with the known and the comfort and the familiar, how are you going to experience that? Do you realize that it doesn't have to be the way you think it is now? It doesn't have to be limited by the second that passed, or what happened last week, or last year, or last incarnation. Do you realize it can be new each second? And you know, when you're really alive in the spirit, it is. It's constantly showing another facet of endless being and potential. You know, most of us live not even 10% of what's available to us at any given dream spell. Why? Because we get attached to our habits. We don't think that we could change and do something different, or better still, not do anything at all. What if you just sat in the silence? And watched what showed up. Good question. But we get restless, don't we? It's like, oh, well, I better check my email. I better see what's on television. I wonder who sent me a text message. You see that resistance to silence and being present for the unknown shows up, that resistance. So it takes great courage to do that shamanic leap, to go through the shamanic death, where you die to the self that you thought you were, the person, the history, the all of the stuff that you've been indoctrinated and conditioned and assumed to your detriment that you were. Unless it is absolutely boundless and unlimited, and beyond description and definition, it's too small a definition for you. So in the process of realizing this, within the dreamtime realms of time, space, and becoming, your journey will take you through countless realms of existence and states of consciousness. And you need to be that person that is able to move with the spirit, move with the dynamism of that center of peace. Now, that may seem like it doesn't make sense when I speak of peace being dynamic. The greatest creative energy in the cosmos is dynamic peace, which is not a static form. It's not doing nothing. And yet, it is exactly doing nothing while being everything. So at the same time, you begin to experience that you know absolutely nothing. You don't know what anything is for, and you're okay with that. You're really just fine with not knowing, without understanding, without controlling and manipulating and trying to make things so they please you, make you feel comfortable. Get over it. You'll never find immortal bliss if you stay comfortable. The whole spiritual path is one of making you extremely uncomfortable. The more uncomfortable, the better. So that you'll go beyond. Show me one God-realized man, woman, great saint that had an easy, comfortable, predictable life. You won't find a single one. But you'll find many that found that place in the midst of a living hell, physically. You'll find many. So we got the whole thing wired, kind of cattywampus, don't we? Happiness is awareness of God. But we think happiness is found in the world. We think happiness is found in things. We think happiness is found in predictability and people and relationships that please us and do things the way we think they should be done. And yet there are no rules. There's no laws that the human mind can think up that are anything but meaningless nonsense. We are under no law but God's. What would that be? Love. Love. But love is the transcending of the law, isn't it? So then we have to say, in God's realm, there is no law. There's only love. So it's inevitable that you and every being will awaken to perfect Godhood. It is inevitable that you will awaken to perfect Godhood. It's there. You've never forsaken it. And one day it will be more important to you to look upon your perfection than to get stuck imagining that you have somehow recreated yourself against the will and love of God. You see, the ego wants with all of its might to make God a cruel, heartless, judgmental tyrant and a liar. So every time you say something negative about yourself, That's the ego using you to call God a liar. You'll probably watch your thoughts in your mouth a little bit more closely if you think about it in those terms. So the perfect Godhood is absolute eternal reality that no experiences here in these dream time scenarios can affect. So all the things you judge yourself for, you've never done. You dreamt the whole thing. So realizing that frees you to really enjoy life and all the experiences and adventures along your journey. Enjoy your life. And train your attention to stay aware of your identity as a divine explorer. Then you'll be able to really enjoy life to its fullest. So what is the one problem? Well, for one thing, why don't you free yourself from meaningless doing and save yourself pointless frustration? We could, for example, consider what we are doing and why and for what purpose. For example, we waste so much time and energy in our attempts to fix the unfixable and to know the unknowable. We seek and seek and attempt to attain, to grasp and secure that which we've always been and remain still and forever. Think about it. How much time do you spend trying to fix your human personality or try to fix things in the world or try to define and nail down the absolute, absolute, absolute truth of truth that is entirely unknowable? Entirely unknowable. We just got through telling you that you know, or science knows, or we collectively know 0.1% of everything there is to be known. And the rest is dark matter and dark energy. That is absolutely unknowable. 4% is a atomically designed world of what we would call knowable matter. That is not very much, is it? We think everything is solid in the world, don't we? We think the room we're in and the chair, the sofa, wherever we're sitting or reclining on, that's solid. But you put it under a high power magnifying device, and what do you see? Energy moving. Atoms moving. Which even as you look at it, you begin to affect it. So every scientist that looks through that microscope is seeing their interpretation, but not really what's there. And that is the same with every one of us. We don't see what's there. We see our mindset, our interpretation that we have accorded whatever it is we're looking at. And we think we know it. You look in the mirror, you think you know yourself. You know a reflected image in a mirror. But when you really see yourself, know yourself, it won't have any semblance at all to what you see in the mirror. And yet we keep trying to fix that image, don't we? We try to manipulate so the image portrays something that we would like others to believe about us. It's all mood making. It means nothing. It's just another time-wasting attempt to fix the unfixable. And what's so odd is that it is this very attempting and searching and grasping that we keep deluding ourselves. We keep deluding ourselves. We keep pushing it away. We keep denying and rejecting what is forever present right now. And that's how we've created this mental prison for this fictitious, flawed person that we've taken ourselves to be. And yet, all along, there has been only one problem that keeps showing up in seemingly endless variations. One problem, endless variations. One problem behind every war, every crime, every act of cruelty, every form of suffering, disease, and birth and death. Only one problem. Can you guess what it is? There is only one problem that actually never was, never existed. But only our belief in it gave it that temporary semblance of reality. One problem, which when realized ends every form of suffering. Can you guess what that problem is? Well, let me give you a hint. The only problem is our belief that we are separate from God. And with that belief arose a world that appeared to be separate from God, and a self that appeared to be separate from God. So the only problem is the belief that we are separate from God. Contemplate, if you will, if you choose, how this belief has inserted itself into so many areas of your thinking. How you see yourself, how you see the world, how you see others. How you see the situation in which you find yourself right now that's troublesome. Contemplate, if you choose to, how this insidious belief in separation from God has given rise to every single sense of guilt. You feel guilty because you feel you did something so wrong that you need to suffer. You need to be punished. Well, trace it back for yourself. Don't take the word of this instrument. Do your own research in yourself, in your own thought field. But every single sense of guilt and shame and fear and worry and anxiety, insecurity, lack and limitation, traces back to the belief that you believe that you did the impossible, and therefore you must suffer. You must hide from God. And you chose to hide from God by creating this body that looks like it's separate, this mind which looks like it's separate, this will which appears like it's separate, and this world which definitely outpictures separation. All of that arose from that single silly thought of separation from God, which was healed in an instant by the emergence of that bridge that we call the whole or Holy Spirit. That bridging understanding that serves as the inner master within each one of us, the inner teacher within every single being. And that is the one that understands that we believed in separation. But because it was a silly thought that was utterly meaningless and had no real effect at all, that inner teacher, that inner counselor, that inner comforter corrects every silly thought of separation the minute we really want to listen and heed that inner voice that always says, "You are my only beloved in whom I am well pleased." That was the first message to the Lord Jesus when he was baptized in the River Jordan. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You might want to write that on your mirror or someplace on a 3x5 card where you'll see it every day. The word spoken directly by the Divine Spirit. "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And sign it, God. Oh, maybe you don't like the word God. Get over it. You have to call the unknown something so you can relate to it in some context. And whether we fight it or not, there is a supreme creator. So, really go into this and see if you can identify whenever, this is a real spiritual practice for you. Begin to be aware when you are creating a separation that doesn't exist. And that's every time you're not wholly joyous. You see, happiness and truth go together. Joy and truth go together. Joy, peace, and truth go together. And they all are linked with your remembering and reminding yourself that in highest truth, you have never left the heart of God. I have that at the bottom of all my emails. In highest truth, you have never left the heart of God. Actually, it's a line from a song that I used to sing at the end of my conference presentations when I'd be a keynote speaker. And the lyrics are this: "In highest truth, we have never left the heart of God. Remain we still has God created us in original innocence and peace? And yet, we extend the light of heaven unto this and a myriad of worlds. And yet, we extend the love of heaven unto this and a myriad of worlds. But in highest truth, we have never left. We have never left the heart of God. Remain we still as God created us in original innocence and peace. And so, begin to question every single unhappy thought that dares to cross through your holy mind. The holy mind in which you share the thoughts of God. With God, in God, as God. God before you, God behind you, God within you, God around you, God on either side, God on either side. Call it what you may, the light, the truth, the way. Call it what you may, the light, the truth, the way. Another song I used to sing. The Holy Spirit would give me these beautiful songs in the middle of a lecture when I'd see people getting a little too mental, needed to lighten up, but burst into song. When I spoke at the United Nations back in 1997, 98, I did that constantly during my talk. I would burst into song when I'd see people getting into the mind a little bit too much, break up the energy with a song. And so the Holy Spirit gave me these beautiful, beautiful songs that would just burst forth. And those of you who are singers, you can use that as well. Create beautiful songs that are like tweetings of truth from the holy dove within you. So that every word, every expression plants a seed of light in the hearts and minds of the people that you encounter. That's how we awaken ourselves, is the intention and desire to impart love and greater understanding to another. Because what you seek to increase and fortify in another, you increase and fortify and bless, if it is a blessing, yourself, to yourself. So spiritually, to give is to receive. They're one action. And when you go through life with the attitude of how can I make this place better for my having been here? What can I say that will lift the energy, lift the spirits, be a sense of encouragement? What can I say that is of such good report that it increases the strength of the immune system? Do you know every time you say something that's joyful, every time you see an image of someone serving and doing a heroic and selfless act, that it increases your own health and immune system? And your own words have the same effect. When you are speaking words of life and encouragement and affirmation and happiness and joy and sharing good news, you are increasing your own life, your own health, your own well-being, and you're communicating to all of existence Can we live like that all the time? Yes. The only time we don't is when we forget who we are and from whence we've come in a dream, from whence we've seemingly extended. When we forget that, when we forget our divinity and that of those around us, only then do we depart from the love and joy and peace that is our natural state. It is unnatural and insane to live unawake, unaware, unhappy, depressed, sad, sick, diseased. This is unnatural. Moreover, it's unreal because these are all products of misperception and confused thinking. And as you turn over these thoughts to the Holy Spirit, every time they arise, say, Holy Spirit, take these thoughts and show me how to see and think with God. Give me your thoughts, Holy Spirit. And you can also go into your mind. There's an exercise in the Course of Miracles where you find God's thoughts within your mind, because God's thoughts are in your mind. God is in your mind. Your mind is very holy. The real mind is the mind you share with God. And the other is silly nonsense that you've allowed to distract you from your wholeness and your holiness. So your belief in living as a separate person apart from God in a world where God is at best seen as an option to believe in or not has kept you literally in hell. What else could hell be but the sense of separation from God or love, which is the same thing? And you're free to imagine that if you wish. It's your choice. But just maybe you are really in earnest about questioning these silly thoughts and this sense, this false sense of being a separate self apart from God. Maybe you're in earnest about questioning these thoughts. So what if you just began to question yourself? For example, why am I afraid? Why do I keep worrying about what will happen? Or why am I so depressed and unhappy? Begin to take those negative states that you find yourself in through habitual mood making, and end cycle on them. Maybe you'll begin to remind yourself that there's only one problem, the belief that I'm separate from God. And there's only one solution to remember that I am forever one with God, indistinguishable from God. And I'm talking about your true self, that core essence that is forever whole, holy, perfect, and divine. And maybe you will study A Course in Miracles, which is a year-long course with 365 lessons to remind you that you remain as God created you, in perfect holiness and peace. Or maybe you'll choose another path. Maybe you'll choose Advaita, non-dualistic Vedanta. Or maybe mystic Christianity. Or maybe esoteric science. Or maybe a little of all of it. Or maybe none of it. Maybe one day you will simply, like a ripened fruit, fall from the tree of duality, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because it's inevitable that you will awaken to immortal joy. So take heart, you only fell asleep and dreamt you were far from home, lost and alone, in a strange world filled with danger. Remind yourself it's just a silly dream, that's all. But now you are awakening, the light has come, and you are becoming aware, oh, I'm home. Safe and sound. That was only a dream. You see, nothing at all has happened to you. There has been no effect at all. You remain as always, home, whole, secure, at one with your Creator. And all is love, joy. A dynamic creative peace. And boundless opportunities to reinvent and recreate and explore yourself in all kinds of ways as the divine that you are. So I hope this has been helpful. We find so many ways to say the same thing week after week. You are the Holy One of God. Let no one tell you different. You know the truth that you and God are one. Roar it forth with every word. Embody your full presence. Walk the earth ascended, whole and free. Walk the earth in radiant divinity. That's another song I used to sing in the middle of my conference talks. So let's conclude our evening sharing with expanding our aura. As far as we can, imagine that you are wrapping every single quark of existence with your love, embracing and blessing everything that exists with your love, and seeing it all as the one self that we are all embodiments of, as unconditional love and manifestation. And we'll go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath. On I Hear. blessings and grace. Namaste.